Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's found on page 1177 of the Church Bible. This evening we'll be beginning a study in this book together, in this letter together. And so we want to read the first 11 verses of this first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God together. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God as my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Well, please keep your Bibles open at that first chapter of Philippians. The Philippian church was established by the Apostle Paul in Acts 16. And there we read of him meeting with some local Jews and God-fearers down by the river on the Sabbath day. Philippi, as a city itself, was quite an important city because although it wasn't the capital of the region of Macedonia, Thessalonica had that honor. It was a leading city in the district of Macedonia. But not only was it a leading city, but it was also a Roman colony. And this meant that for the people who lived in Philippi, they had special privileges. They could live as though they were in Rome. They could live with the government and the authority of Rome. And they had all these privileges. They spoke in Latin rather than Greek. And so in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas, along with other companions, come to this city, they go out on the Sabbath day to the riverside, where they think there might be a place of prayer. It is at this point they speak about the gospel, and the lady Lydia is converted and is the first convert of that place. While they're in the city, we read of Paul and his companions working mightily for the Lord. They cast out a demon from a young girl. They stop a jailer from killing himself, and they preach the gospel to him and his household. And so the church is established. The household of Lydia, the household of the jailer, and perhaps even the little girl who had the demon cast from her. Perhaps they met together and they worshiped together. And Paul had a special place in his heart for this place of Philippi, because this was the place that the gospel began to spread into Europe. It was the first time the gospel was moving west. out of Asia and across the continent of Europe. And so Paul, a number of years later, now in prison, most likely in Rome, he writes to this church, which he had the privilege of planting a number of years beforehand. And in his letter, he gives them many instructions about how they are to serve. He gives them instruction on what their attitude to service should be like. Although, all the way through, he gives thanks of what he has heard from the church. He has heard from a servant, Epaphroditus, a man who was sent from the church at Philippi to care for Paul. He's heard from Epaphroditus how life in the church is going. But Paul is concerned throughout the letter that the people in the church don't just sit still, that they aren't content with where they are in their faith, but he wants them to keep moving forward. He wants them to serve one another. And so he gives them example after example in how they are to live. He had seen the church begin. He had heard about how the church was getting on. But he wanted it to keep growing and expanding. He wanted to see the kingdom of God grow in that place. And so as we come together to this short letter, it's only four chapters long, we want to see over the next few weeks how we can best serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This evening, we'll just be looking at the opening two verses of the letter. We'll be looking at Paul's greeting to the people at Philippi. And so let us read those verses again together. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see firstly together who, the author of the letter. The author of the letter. Verse 1 names both Paul and Timothy as the senders of the letter. Our greetings are coming from both Paul and Timothy. But we know that Paul is the sole author of the letter. Look at what verse 3 says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. This is Paul himself speaking to the people. Paul talking himself. But Timothy was also with Paul when he wrote the letter. That's why he is included. He's included in this opening greeting. But there may have been others with Paul. We know that Epaphroditus was with Paul. So why does Timothy have the privilege of being named alongside Paul? Well, it's perhaps to give Timothy the same honor and regard that the Philippian church gives to Paul. Timothy was going, as Paul hoped, was going to be sent to the church at Philippi. In chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul states that he's hoping to send Timothy to them. And he's hoping to send Timothy to be an example to them. He's hoping that Timothy will be the leader of the church and will lead them forward and give them a good example to follow. And so Paul includes Timothy here so that when Timothy goes, he will be held in the same regard and have the same authority as Paul. But verse 1 also gives us a description of Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy are described as servants of Christ Jesus. Servants of Christ Jesus. They label themselves in this way, or another way to put it, perhaps as your footnote does, as slaves or bond servants. And a bond servant is someone who is different from a slave or an ordinary servant. A bond servant is someone who is totally committed to the will of their master. The bond servant has no will of their own. They have no purpose of their own. They have no plan of their own. All the bondservant has and does is subject to the will of their master. And so this is the picture that Paul gives to the Philippians. The type of man he is. He is a servant who is totally and absolutely surrendered to Jesus as his master. He is totally committed in every way to serving Christ. A slave or an ordinary servant, they could be removed from their service as a slave. The debt could be paid. If a man or a woman or a boy or a girl could be given over to slavery, perhaps by a mother or father, to pay a debt to someone, they could be born into slavery. Perhaps you've seen the film Gladiator. I know it's a few years old, but in the film Gladiator, there's the leader of the gladiators, the man who gathers them all up. He was released as a slave. He was given his freedom by his master. But Paul says, yes, he knew he was free in Christ, but he didn't want freedom from Christ. He was free in Christ. He served God with everything that he had. This word bondservant, it is used in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and it speaks of the men of God, the men who God raised up to serve him. Moses, Joshua, David, Jonah. All of these men are described as bondservants. This means that they were used by God for a special ministry, or they were people through whom God spoke. And so by Paul using this word here, he's saying along with Timothy, we are nothing except what Christ has given us. We are nothing except what Christ does for us. We do nothing but what God commands and wills for us. As you think about that word, does it reflect your life? Would this word, bondservant, would the true meaning of this word sum up what you do each day? Could you say that you are a true bondservant of Christ? Paul showed through this word that he relied 100% upon the will of God. That he didn't undertake tasks to please his own mind. He didn't do things to give himself any honor and glory. But he gave himself over totally to God. He gave himself fully to serving his Lord and Savior. Perhaps the thought of giving yourself over completely to God scares you. Perhaps giving yourself to God fills you with dread. Perhaps you think, oh, I would like to be in control just a little bit. I'd like to hold on to just a little bit of control. And then I'll give 90% over to God. But just, God, let me hold on to 10%. Or maybe in the past you have said, God, take my life and use it for your glory. But then you think, what have I done? Or you begin to panic that God won't look out for you or won't care for you. Friends, remember that servants have a master. Servants have a master. And Paul wrote in other places about how a master is to serve and look after his slaves, look after his servants. But remember who your master is. Remember that your master is Jesus Christ. And will he not look after you better than you can ever look after yourself? Paul rejoiced in the fact that he was no longer a slave to sin. But now he was joined to a new master, to a Savior who had died for him to set him free. Perhaps you think, how can I serve? There's nothing that I can get involved in. Well, we heard this morning in our announcements how you can be involved. Give yourself over for a morning to go to Trinity Tots, to help out, to serve tea, to work in the kitchen. Go along to the language class. Talk to people. In my few short days here, I can see that you all love to talk. The amount of time it takes for you all to go home. Go to the language class and talk to people there. Help them, serve them in their need to help them learn. Campaigners, we were praying about it earlier. Give up a Friday evening, go and help along. The CY as well. Come along, help. There are many number of ways to serve Christ Jesus. Are you serving Christ? Are you living for him? Or are you still holding on to your old life? Are you still saying, no, I want to be my own master? Give yourself to Christ and serve the Lord, serve him, for he will be a great master to you. Seen the author of the letter. Let us see, secondly, the recipients of the letter. Paul addresses his letter to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Paul has just written that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. But those who are servants of Christ aren't to think of themselves as low down and in the dust. No, servants of Christ are to remember that they are saints. Paul is reminding these Christians at Philippi that they are saints, that they are the holy ones of God, that they are the chosen or the set apart ones of God. They are saints because they are in Christ Jesus. They are saints because they have trusted in Christ. They don't become saints when they die and go to heaven. But they are saints now because of Christ. And friends, if you are trusting in Christ, know that you too are a saint because of Christ, because of the work of Christ. You have been made holy by Christ. You have been redeemed and you have been given Christ's perfect holiness upon yourself, and you have been removed from the world. And you know that you are going to be with God. You are saints. And so this is why, and so Paul says, it's to all the saints, to all who are there. The word all is quite a common word in Paul's letter to the Philippians. We even noticed it as we were reading through the rest of chapter 1. It occurs 7 times in the first 9 verses and 32 times across the 4 chapters of the letter. And it conveys, this word is used by Paul to convey the meaning of all without exception. All who are in the church, all who believe in Christ Jesus, they are saints. One writer has said that in this context, all the saints refers to even the lowest in rank or birth, the poorest, and those of the least gifts. Christ makes no difference. The rich and the poor meet together in him. All are saints. It doesn't matter if you're an overseer in a position of responsibility, whether you're an overseer and a deacon. They may have been looking down on the other believers. The overseers and deacons may have thought themselves better and greater. But yet Paul says, all are saints. And so, friends, we are all saints if we trust in Christ, if we know Christ as Savior, if we are in him, then we are Christ, and we are saints. We are in him. Can you say that you're in him? Can you say you're in Christ? Can you say that Christ lives in you? If you can, rejoice. Rejoice that the Lord of heaven and earth is dwelling in you. And rejoice that because Christ is in you, you have the power to overcome the temptations of this world. Know that because you are saints and you have been saved from this world, know that you in Christ have the power to overcome temptation. Yes, this world is full of temptation. The devil is always seeking to pull Christ's people astray. One man has said, as a Christian, they always move in two spheres. He is in a certain place in this world, but he is also in Christ. He lives in two dimensions. He lives in this world whose duties he does not treat lightly. But above and beyond that, he lives in Christ. That is why outward circumstances make little difference to the Christian. His peace and joy are not dependent on them. He has work to do. Its rewards may be small, it may be painful and unpleasant. But the Christian is to do it diligently and cheerfully, for he is in Christ. We are all in our own Philippi, but we are all in Christ. And it is Christ who sets the tone of our living. If we are in Christ, we are with him. We are secure with him. No matter what the world throws at us, we are safe and we are secure. And so if we are in Christ, it is better than anything the world can offer. And so, friends, all believers are saints in the Lord Jesus. All are counted equal before him. No matter what your background, no matter where you're from, when we are in Christ, we are all saints, we are all counted equal before him. So the recipients of this letter, the saints in Christ Jesus, the author of the letter, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Let us see thirdly and finally the greeting in the letter. The greeting in the letter. And Paul concludes this opening portion of his letter with words of blessing to the saints at Philippi. He says to them in verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is quite a similar greeting that Paul gives here. It occurs in 6 of his other letters. But in his words here, he tells us that both grace and peace come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word grace, it has a wide variety of meanings, but all of the meanings are demonstrated in God's free, unmerited favor to men and women who deserve his wrath. When we speak of the grace of God, we mean his many faceted kindnesses that he has granted to us. It's because of God's grace that we have been delivered from the guilt of sin, and we have been given a guarantee of entrance into heaven through Christ's death on the cross. The other desire that Paul has for his friends in Philippi is that they should experience God's peace. And it's God's grace that brings God's peace. Like the word grace, peace was often on the believers' lips in the first century church. Grace was how the Greeks began when speaking with each other. And peace was how Jews began speaking to each other. But through God's grace, along with the salvation we receive in God's grace, we receive his peace in our hearts. Peace, it is the fruit of God's gracious activity in the experience of sinners. And there are two kinds of peace that we read about in the Bible. There is peace with God. In Romans 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." All who have been truly born again have peace with God. They know that they have sinned in God's sight, and they realize that they cannot continue to do so. They have the assurance within their hearts and consciences that Christ has taken away their sin, and there's now no barrier between themselves and God, and therefore they have peace with God. We also read in Scripture of the peace of God. And this is something that is experienced by the believer who is undergoing trials of one kind or another. When Paul was fastened in the stocks at Philippi on his first visit to the city, he could still sing praise to God even though he had been badly beaten, even though he had been thrown into jail. As he served God in other places, as he was chased out of towns and cities with mobs coming after him, he knew the peace of God and he trusted in God because he knew of God's peace. And so Paul prays that the Christians in Philippi would continue and even more continue in knowing and experiencing God's grace and peace in their lives. But friends, they needed, and we need also each and every day, God's grace. Because even though we have been saved, we fall into sin, we are tempted, and we give in to that temptation, and we sin before our Father in heaven. And so we always need God's grace. And we always need God's peace. We need to remember the peace of God, the peace that we have with God because of Christ. And that should lead us and help us to strive not to sin, not to fall into sin. But know that God's grace and peace, it doesn't come to everyone, and not everyone experiences it. Because God's grace and peace, it is only for those who know Christ, for those who are in Christ. Grace and peace are only for those who acknowledge Christ as their Savior, who know Him as Lord of their life. So as we go away this evening, consider how you are serving Christ. Are you a bond servant of Christ? Have you given everything over to Him and say to Him, God, use me in the way that you want. Lead my life. Show me the way that I am to go. Does Christ have control of your life as He did over the Apostle Paul? Are you counted with the saints of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the grace and peace that comes from knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior? Friends, know each and every day in your heart God's grace and God's peace. Amen. Dear God, we do thank you for these words from your servant, the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Lord, for how he sought to encourage your servants so many years ago with his letter. And God, we pray that as we come to study these words in the coming months, God, that we would know encouragement and strength, that we would benefit from them, that we would seek to be true servants of yours, that we would know that we have been saved for good works. Lord, that we would honor you and glorify in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.